Hi there, and welcome to the conclusion of the Visit the Sins podcast. I'm Cory Doctorow, and shortly you'll hear the final part of my short story, Visit the Sins, originally published in Asimov Science Fiction Magazine, and subsequently reprinted in David Hartwell's Year's Best Science Fiction 5. I've got some good stuff coming up. I've just sold a new short story collection to Avalon Books, which is the publisher that absorbed Four Walls, Eight Windows, who published my first short story collection, A Place So Foreign, and eight more. A lot of the stories you've heard podcast on this will be appearing in there, which is quite cool. And those stories will also be collected and put out under Creative Commons license. So all of that going very nicely. I'm off to Finland in a couple of hours for the Aula Movement Workshop. This is a two-day event, one day public, one day private event. Sponsored by Nokia and Aula, about the future of mobility, and I'm going to be there talking about how mobile phones and democracy interact. And in about a week, I'm off to Brazil for the iSummit, which is the Creative Commons International Summit. I hope maybe I'll see some of you in one place or the other, and if not, I'm sure we'll have lots of opportunities at other countries and cities as I keep moving around the world. Hope you're all doing very well, and I hope you enjoy the end of this story. Bye. Sean gave Adele a ride the next day. She wore a sun hat and a lightweight cotton dress and sandals and looked frail and quaint. Sean thought Adele would get off at a different floor to visit Ethan, but she walked with him across Grandpa's ward. Grandpa was sitting just where he had been the day before. His chin was shaved blue, and he was impeccable. He was methodically slicing and eating a hamburger. "Grandpa," Sean said. "Hello, Sean," Grandpa said. He laid his knife and fork down in a precise X on his plate and pushed it aside. "This is Adele. Her son is in the zero-function ward. She wanted to meet you, Adele. This is my grandfather, Bryce Devick." "Pleased to meet you, Adele," Grandpa said, and shook her hand. "Likewise," she said. "Do you know my Ethan? I'm worried he doesn't seem to have any friends here."
"I haven't met him," Grandpa said.
"Well, would you do an old lady a big favor? Go and visit him. Your grandson tells me you're smart. Ethan is as smart as a whip. You two should have lots to talk about."
"I will," Grandpa said. "I'm sure you two will get on very well. It was a pleasure to meet you. Excuse me, I'm sure Ethan's wondering where I am."
Sean waited until she was out of earshot, then said, "Her son's a fucking vegetable."
"You're about 80% of the way there. You're spending so much time switched off, you might as well be dead."
"What do you know about it?" Grandpa said, fidgeting.
"I know plenty," Sean said. "Plenty. You spent less than 15% of the time switched on until you hit college. Then you switched off for months at a time. You used it for a study aid. I pulled your log files when I was at Dad's. He's had them ever since you were declared non-compos."
"You're a junkie, Grandpa. You don't have the willpower to kick your habit, and it makes my dad nuts. I never knew you, so it just makes me curious. Let's talk about the first time you remember switching off."
Grandpa snorted. "That's a stupid question. You don't remember switching off. That's the whole point."
Sean rolled his eyes. "You know what I mean. You may not be able to remember switching off, but you'll remember switching on. Switching on has to be memorable, doesn't it? Isn't that the whole point?"
"Fine. I switched on for about 20 minutes in a movie that I had snuck out of school to see when I was 12. It was in French, and it had made a lot of noise because it had a sex scene with a live pig. I saw that scene and two others, another sex scene and a scene where this woman cuts the pig's throat. I loved it. All my friends had done the same thing, but by the time the good parts had come around, they were too bored to enjoy them. I just caught the highlight reel."
"How long until you next switched off?"
"I don't know. A while."
"It was 2 days.
I had the log file, remember, Grandpa?
Don't jerk my chain."
"You switched off during Friday dinner. Did your parents notice?"
"Of course they noticed. They loved it. For once, I wasn't kicking the table leg or arguing with my sisters or stuffing sprouts in my pocket. I cleaned my plate and sat and waited until everyone else was done. Then I did the dishes."
"How'd you like it?"
"I loved it. I hated family dinners. I just got that highlight reel again. Dessert! I remember that fucking bowl of pudding like I was eating it right now. My mother couldn't cook for shit, but she sure opened a mean package of Jell-O pudding."
Sean found his mood matching Grandpa's, aggressive and edgy.
"How'd you and Grandma end up getting married? I can't imagine that she was hot for a zombie like you."
"Oh, but she was, Sean, she was." Grandpa wiggled his eyebrows lasciviously. "Your grandma didn't like people much. She knew she had to get married, her folks expected no less, but she mostly wanted to be off on her own, doing her own thing. I'd come home, switch off, clean the place, do any chores she had for me, then go to bed. She loved to have sex with me switched off. It got so that if I accidentally switched on while we were doing it, I'd pretend I was still off, until she was done. It was the perfect arrangement. But she divorced your sorry ass after 10 years, Sean said.
You got a girlfriend, Sean? Grandpa said.
No. You ever had a girlfriend?
Yeah, Sean said, feeling slightly smug. Never ask a yes-no question.
Why'd she leave you? Grandpa asked, his eyes sharp as razors.
What makes you think she left me? Sean asked.
Did she? Grandpa fired back.
Yes, Sean said, as calmly as he could manage.
And why did that happen?
We were growing in different directions, Sean said, the words sounding prim even to him.
Grandpa barked and slapped his palm on the table. The old men and women in the ward swiveled their heads to stare, momentarily distracted. Then went back to arguing.
You're full of shit, kid. What's that supposed to mean?
I was working on my thesis proposal. Lara was working on hers. Neither of us had time for a relationship. It was amicable.
Lara had caught him watching television over her shoulder while she was delivering one of her dreaded relationship briefings, and had laid into him a little too hard. He'd come back at her with everything he had, an extended rant that ranged from her lame-ass thesis, the cultural impact of some obscure TV show from before they'd been born, to her backbiting, overeducated circle of friends. He'd moved on to a relationship with her mother, her insufferable whining about a suicidal uncle she'd been close to, and her pretentious way of sprinkling her speech with stupid pseudo-intellectual buzzwords. He crossed the line again and again, and she kicked him out on his ass.
Dad says he never switched on during the divorce.
Your dad has nothing to complain about.
He got enough pity lavished on him to kill 10 men. It was all your grandmother's family could do not to devour him whole.
But you stayed switched off, Sean said.
In the court I stayed switched off.
Ever been in court, Sean?
You stayed switched off.
In the courtroom.
And before, during the separation?
Same thing, Grandpa said.
And after, during visitations?
Not then, Grandpa said loudly. Not during visitations.
I've got the log files, Grandpa, Sean said.
What the hell do a 12-year-old and a grown man have to talk about?
I kept him fed. I took him out to the Carney and to kitty movies. I drove him to hockey.
You switched off, Grandpa, Sean said. The you that counted wasn't there.
Sophistry, Grandpa said. Bullshit. I remember all of it. I was there. Not many other parents were, let me tell you. Usually it was just me and a few others in the stands, or kids running around loose like animals at the Kearney. Your father has nothing to complain against.
Why, aren't you two looking exciting? Adele said, hobbling alongside of the table. She was leaning on Ethan, a vigorous old man with sinewy arms and dead eyes. His face was unlined, free from smile lines and frowning creases.
"Hi, Adele," Sean said, trying to keep the exasperation out of his voice.
"Adele, this is Sean and his grandfather, Bryce."
"I'm sorry, Ethan, this is Sean and his grandfather, Bryce."
Ethan extended his hand and Sean shook it.
"Very nice to meet you," Ethan said. His hand was dry and papery, his eyes vacant. Sean shook it. A frisson of shameful disgust sizzled up his abdomen. He had a sudden vision of Ethan's brain desiccated in his skull, the gleaming edges of a chip poking free. He surreptitiously wiped his hand on his pants as Ethan turned to Grandpa and shook his hand.
"Nice to meet you."
"Do you mind if we sit down?" Adele said. "I'm afraid that I'm a little pooped. All those stairs!"
Sean offered his chair and went off to the lounge with Ethan to get 2 more. When they got back, Adele had her hand on Grandpa's forearm.
"I worked in a dairy answering the phones. You tell people you used to work in a dairy, they think you were milking the cows."
Adele laughed, and Grandpa shot Sean a hostile look.
Sean said, "Grandpa was a machinist."
"Grandpa was a machinist before he retired.
You really like doing that, huh, Grandpa?"
Grandpa nodded perfunctorily. "I mean, the log files show that you were almost never switched off at work.
Must have been pretty engrossing. You should give workshops here. I bet it'd be good therapy."
Sean knew he was baiting the old man, but he couldn't stop himself.
"Your father's arriving tomorrow," Grandpa said. "He called last night."
"I didn't tell him you were here. I thought it would be a nice surprise." Adele clapped her hands.
"Well, isn't that just nice? 3 generations all together. Sean, you'll have to introduce Ethan and I to your father. Ethan never had children. Isn't that right?"
Ethan said, "Yes." Always the bachelor, my boy. But it wasn't for lack of opportunity. You had to beat them off with a stick, didn't you, son? Ethan said.
Yes.
I always hope for a grandchild to hold, but you have to let your children live their own lives. Isn't that right, Bryce?
Yes, Grandpa said, with a kind of horrified fascination.
Ethan was always too busy for romance.
Yes, Ethan said. Working and working and working for that transcription service. You must have typed a million words. Did you ever count them, Ethan?
Yes, Ethan said. I typed roughly 15 million words. Nowadays, of course, no one types. It's all talking to computers now. When I was a girl, they said you'd always have a job if you just learned to type. Times sure change, don't they?
Yes, said Ethan and Grandpa together. Grandpa startled like he'd been shocked.
Dad's coming tomorrow, Sean said. Grandpa said yes. He's catching the 6 a.m. He'll be here by 10.
Isn't that nice, Adele said.
They left Grandpa and Ethan sitting at the table together. Sean looked back over his shoulder before they got on the elevator, and Grandpa was still switched on, still staring hard at him.
You must be excited about seeing your father again, Adele said to him when they were sitting around the pool.
Sean was getting the hang of talking to Adele. Ethan and my grandfather seemed to be hitting it off.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Ethan could use some friends at that place.
Sean pictured the two of them, seated across from each other at the ward table, running maintenance routines at each other, saying yes, yes. Unbidden, a grin came to Sean's face.
Why'd you put Ethan in the home? Sean asked, shifting to catch more sun on his face.
He wanted to go. The doctor came by and told him about it and asked him if he wanted to go, and he said yes, that was it.
Sean snuck a look at Adele. She was wincing into the light, following it like a sunflower.
Adele, he said.
Yes, Sean?
Ethan was in maintenance mode. He was switched off. He said yes because his subroutines didn't want to be any trouble.
You know that, right?
Oh, that foolishness again. Ethan's a good boy, is all. He remembers my birthday and Mother's Day every year.
Subroutines, Adele, Sean said, straining to keep an inexplicable anger out of his voice.
Subroutines.
Adele, he's a robot. He's a walking coma. He's been switched off for so long, all you're talking to is a goddamn chip. He's not a goddamn person anymore. None of them are. My goddamn grandpa spent 3/4 of his goddamn life away. He's either an angry old bastard or he's a goddamn zombie. You know that, right?
Sean, you're very upset, Adele said. Why don't you have a nice lie down and we'll talk in the morning?
I can't wait to meet your father.
Sean stalked off to his room and tried to record some field notes while flipping around in the weird pokey corners of the motel's cable system, Japanese game shows, and Hindu religious epics. He smoked half a cigarette, drank half a beer, tried to masturbate, and finally he slept.
Adele rang his room phone at 8.
"Rise and shine, sunshine," she said. "Your father will be at the airport in an hour."
Sean dressed, but didn't bother shaving or brushing his teeth. He staggered out to his rental and gave Adele a sheepish grin. Acid churned in his gut.
Adele waited by the passenger door, in a pair of slacks and a light blouse. She had hung a pair of sunglasses around her neck on a gold chain and carried an enormous Cecil handbag. Staggering in the horrible daylight, Sean opened the passenger door for her and offered his arm while she got in. He put the car onto the Beeline Expressway and pointed it at the airport.
"Oh, won't this be fun?" Adele said, as he ground the crap from the corners of his eyes and steered with his knees.
"I'm sure your father is charming. Maybe the five of us can go to Universal for an afternoon."
"I don't think we can take them off the ward," Sean grunted, changing lanes for the airport exit.
"You're probably right," Adele said. "I was just thinking that Universal might be enough to keep them both switched on."
Sean shot her a look and nearly missed his exit.
Adele rattled a laugh at him. "Don't look so surprised. I know which end is up."
Sean pursed his lips and navigated the ramp maze that guarded the airport. He pulled up to the loading zone of Air Canada arrivals and switched off the engine. He looked past Adele at the tourists jockeying for cabs.
"I'm sorry about yesterday. I guess I'm a little wound up."
"Yesterday?" Adele said.
"Oh, by the pool." She put a frail hand on his forearm.
"Sean, you don't get to my age by holding grudges. Ethan's father, he held grudges, and it killed him. Heart attack. He never forgave the doctors. I'm just happy to have a chauffeur."
Sean swallowed hard.
"I'm sure that somewhere Ethan knows that you're visiting him, that you love him. He's in there." He said it with all the sincerity he could muster. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't, Adele said, but it makes me feel better. He's what I've got left. If you'd like, I'll wait with the car so you can go in and look for your father.
No, Sean said, that's all right. That'll come out for a cab. He's not the sort to dawdle.
I like a decisive man. That's why I talked to you by the pool. You just jumped in because you wanted to swim.
Adele, that was stupid. It was like swimming in a urine sample.
Same difference. I like a man who can make up his mind. That's what Ethan's father was like. Decisive.
You're like my dad, Sean said. He drummed his fingers on the wheel, then lowered and raised his window. He whistled tunelessly through his teeth. Adele gave him a considering stare and he stopped and started in on powers of two to his in his head.
There he is, Sean said, 2 to the 24 later.
Sean had barely been in Florida for 3 days, but it was long enough that his father seemed as pale as freezer-burned ice cream. Sean checked the traffic in his rear view, then pulled across the waiting area to where his father stood, acing out an irate cabbie for the spot. Sean's father glared at the car and started to walk around behind it to the cab. Sean leaned on the horn and his father stooped and stared. His expression was bland and grim and affectless. Sean powered down Adele's window.
Dad!
Sean, his father said. Sean popped the locks.
Get in, Dad. I'll give you a ride.
Hi, Pop, Sean's father said when they came to the table where Grandpa sat. Ethan sat across from him. Grandpa glared at them. This guy won't leave me alone. He's a fucking vegetable, he said, gesturing at Ethan. Adele pursed her lips at him. He patted her arm absently. It needed to be said. Sean's father reached around the table and gave Grandpa a stiff hug.
Good to see you, Pop.
Yeah, likewise. Sit down, Mitch. Sit down. Sit down, Sean. Sit down, Adele.
They sat. Ask your questions, Sean, he ordered.
Sean found himself tongue-tied. He heaved a deep breath and closed his eyes for a moment. He thought about why he was here. Not the reason he'd given his thesis advisor, but the real goddamn reason. He wanted to understand his father, himself. He wanted to reverse-engineer his father's childhood. He looked at Ethan, slack as Grandpa had been whenever they'd visited. An inkling glimmered.
Does Ethan scare you, Grandpa?
Adele and scowled.
Do I scare you, Mitch? Grandpa said to Sean's father.
Yes, Sean's father said. Yes, Grandpa said. Next question. Do you think that switching off is a sign of weakness? Sean said, sneaking a glance at his father, seeing his grandfather's features echoed in his father's face.
Yes, his father said.
Of course, his grandfather said.
Then why?
You know why, Ethan said, his eyes glittering. They all swiveled to look at him.
Because the alternative is the purest shit, Ethan said, standing up, starting to pace, almost shouting to make himself heard over the din of the ward. Because if you have to ask, you'll never understand. Because dessert is better than dinner. Because the cherry on top is the best part of the sundae. Because strength is overrated.
Grandpa applauded briefly, sardonically.
Because holding your nose and taking your medicine is awful. Because boredom is a suppurating wound on the mind. Because self-discipline is overrated. You getting all this, Sean?
But Sean was watching his father, who was staring in fascinated horror at Grandpa. Nauseous regret suffused Sean as he saw his father's composure crumple. How many times has he tried to shatter that deadly cool? And here, Sean had done it. He'd really done it.
Still looking at his father, Sean said, "Do you ever wonder how it feels to rank below oblivion in someone's book?"
Grandpa spread his hands on the table. "I can't help it if you take it personally."
Sean's father reeled back, and Sean swallowed a throb of anger. "Of course not, Grandpa. I understand. It's a reflex. The world's full of sops who'll take offense at any little thing."
Lara shriveling under the heat of his tongue and him still watching the TV over his shoulder. "But it's a reflex. It's not conscious. It's no one's fault."
"Don't humor me," Grandpa snapped. "I know what you all think of me. I can feel your goddamn blame. I can't do anything about it."
"You could apologize," Ethan said. Adele took him by his hand and wiped at her tears with its back.
"Fuck off, zombie," Grandpa said, glaring at him.
Sean's father stood abruptly. "I'm glad to see you're in good health, Pop," he said. "Sean, thanks for the ride. I guess I'll see you again once you've finished your research." His face was hard, composed. "Adele, nice to have met you."
"Likewise," Adele said.
"Bye, then," Sean's father said, and walked with dignified calm to the elevator.
"Bye, Dad," Sean called softly at his retreating back.
He turned back to Grandpa, but Grandpa's eyes were dull, and he was methodically twitching, top to bottom. "Adele," Sean said, taking her free hand. "Yes," she said. "How would you and Ethan like to come to Universal with me for the afternoon?"
"I'd love to," Ethan said.
Sean looked at Ethan and couldn't decide whether he was switched off or not. Whichever, Adele didn't seem to mind.